All right, welcome to Module 1. If you haven't already listened to the introduction, I encourage you to do so. Much of that material might be a review for you at this point, but I think it's important that you really understand my thinking behind this email prospecting approach and why I truly believe this is the best way to find prospects fast and cost effectively, and also why I think cold calling is simply not one of the best long-term prospecting approaches out there for freelancers. In this module, we're going to lay the groundwork for crafting highly effective prospecting email messages that get read and get response. Now, I have to warn you, it's going to be a couple of modules before we get to the really juicy stuff, the actual writing and sending of email messages. I know you're probably anxious to get to that part, but I can't overemphasize the importance of adequate and thorough preparation. As tempting as it might be to send out an email blast to 37,000 prospects, that's exactly the sort of thing that's going to get you in trouble, and it's exactly what so many other people do when it comes to email prospecting. Plus, it's very ineffective, so there's really no point of approaching it that way. All right, let's first talk about positioning and messaging and why it's so important to get this nailed down before you craft any prospecting emails. The crazy busy prospects of today have very, very short attention spans. Essentially, you have about 10 seconds to capture their attention in an email, if you're lucky, which means that if you don't have your message down pat, or if it's sloppy and wordy, you'll run a high risk of losing them quickly and getting your email deleted. So when I talk about positioning, I'm talking about defining the following: what you do, for whom, why you're different, what relevant value you bring to the table, and or whom you've worked for that's worth mentioning. You'll find a worksheet in this module that will walk you through this process and include spaces for your answers. We're going to run through this worksheet together now. So if you haven't already printed that worksheet, go ahead and pause this video, print out the worksheet, and come back to this once you have it in front of you. I really encourage you to take the time to go through these questions with me. It will make a big difference in the results you get from this program. So don't think it's busy work or some sort of mindless exercise. It's critical to the success of this effort. All right, so if you have your worksheet in front of you, let's run through this together. The first question is, what type of work do you do? So what type of work, what type of services do you offer? And out of all those services, what one, two, or three services are you really known for among your clients? So when clients think of you, what types of services do they typically think about? For example, I, as a freelance copywriter, I write all kinds of copy and content for business-to-business marketers, everything from white papers to case studies, web copy, articles, lead generation emails, you name it. But what I'm really known for is writing white papers, case studies, and bylined articles. By the way, this is probably a good time to make the distinction between target market and niche or specialty. A target market is a defined group of prospects you often go after. So, for example, hospitals or food companies or heavy equipment manufacturers, authors, local specialty retailers, whatever that might be. But a niche or a specialty is more about what you're known for. So yes, I write, going back to my examples, I write white papers and case studies, web copy, lead generation emails, direct mail, all these other things. But what I'm really known for is writing white papers, case studies, and bylined articles. So pause the video and work on this question for a few minutes. All right, the second question, what type of people or organizations do you typically do this work for? So in other words, what's your target market? What type of organizations do you typically work with? So going back to my example, I typically work for software companies, and more specifically, enterprise software companies, which basically is the larger software, more expensive software that runs an entire company or entire department and so forth. So here again, this is more about target market and not so much about niche or specialty or the work you're known for the best, which is what you define in the question above. So pause the video and work on this question for a couple of minutes and then come back. Next question, why or how are you different? So for your target market or your target markets, what makes you a better choice than most of your competitors? Okay, so in my case, I could have gone in a few different directions here, but when I was starting out and I didn't really have much of a track record as a freelance copywriter, what I did is I leveraged my work background, specifically my software sales background, my experience and track record in that industry. And basically, I would talk about how I brought my street-level sales experience to bear in my marketing writing and how I approach copywriting from the viewpoint of the people who would benefit from it the most, the sales team. That made me very different from many of the other writers out there who may have had more experience writing, but little to no experience out there in the trenches doing real face-to-face selling. Also, keep in mind that the idea here is not necessarily to figure out why you're different from everyone out there. Your goal is to describe what makes you different from most. That's good enough, and that's what you want to shoot for. So pause the video and come back to this once you're done answering that question. All right, so next, what value do you bring to the table? And how can you express that value in a way that means something to your prospect? Now, there are a couple ways you can approach this. If you work in a profession where you can measure results fairly easily and where delivering tangible and measurable results is important or would make a real difference in your prospecting efforts, then I would encourage you to dig up those metrics and incorporate them into a value statement. So, for example, say you're a freelance accountant. You could say that you typically help clients save an average of 12 to 17% in tax liability by uncovering hidden deduction opportunities that are completely legitimate and legal. That's just one example I just made up. The other approach will be more appropriate if the kind of value you deliver is harder to measure, and it basically involves using softer benefits or value statements. For instance, maybe you're a web designer, and you know from client feedback that your web design is of such high quality that your clients are constantly talking about how much better their website is converting, or how many more comments they get from prospects and customers about how great the site looks, or how much easier it is for the salespeople to close business because the website now makes the company look like a very established and financially sound company. Notice that none of these statements have metrics associated with them. It's all anecdotal information, but it can be very powerful. So again, pause the video, take a few minutes to answer this question and come back. All right, next is, whom have you worked for that may be worth mentioning? You may not have a lot in the way of documented metrics, or you may not have much in the way of anecdotal results, but if you've worked for one, two, or more organizations that would be immediately recognizable to prospects in your target market, that's pure gold. Everything else being equal, it gives you immediate credibility, which is a big reason, by the way, to focus many of your efforts in a specific target market, even if that market is fairly broad, such as, let's say, manufacturers in general. When you do that, it allows you to leverage these client names and get more mileage out of them. So think back to organizations you've worked with in the past and list as many as you can think of. Don't judge too much at this point. And keep in mind, we're not necessarily looking for household names right now. We're not trying to find companies like GE, Microsoft, and Humana. They don't have to be household names, really high-profile companies. We're merely creating a list we can refer to again later and pick names that might be appropriate based on whom we're going after. So again, pause the video, work on this question for a couple of minutes, and then come back to this. Okay, so at this point, you should have answers to all the questions above. In this next step, you're going to take the answers to your questions above and start creating one or more value statements. A value statement is basically a statement that describes what you do, for whom, why you're different, what value you deliver, and whom you've worked for. Now, not all of these elements have to be in place in order to have a strong value statement, but for now, your goal is to incorporate as many of these elements as you can into one or more value statements. So let me give you some examples and you'll see how this works. And this is a fictitious one. I help software companies write white papers and case studies that make it easier for salespeople to close more business. I'm a 12-year software sales veteran, so I bring a unique results perspective to the table. I've worked with companies like IBM, SAP, Salesforce.com, and Cognos. All right, so let's look at the elements I incorporate into this value statement. What you do. Yes, I absolutely talked about that. Whom I work for. Yes, I talked about software companies. Why you're different. Absolutely. I talked about the whole sales angle, my sales experience. What relevant value you bring to the table? Again, tied to that, I brought my sales experience and what that means and why there's value there. And whom I've worked for that's worth mentioning. Yes, I talked about working for IBM, SAP, and some other companies in that industry. So as you can see, it's sometimes hard to fit in all of these elements. I kind of crammed a lot of this in, and that's why I suggest you create several statements and several variations on those statements. So let me give you another variation on this original one. I help enterprise software companies write white papers and case studies that make it easier for salespeople to close more business. One of my clients, a marketing director at IBM, has publicly stated that I'm an indispensable member of her team and can pick up ideas and strategies faster than any outside expert she's ever worked with. All right, so let's analyze this one. Did I talk about what I do? Yes. Did I talk about whom I do this for? Absolutely. Did I mention why I'm different? Well, somewhat. Wasn't really that clear, although the fact that IBM and the fact that she had said something about how I pick up ideas faster than anyone else she's worked with, that's a differentiator in a way. What relevant value do I bring to the table? Yes, and there again, I talked about the fact that I pick up these ideas faster, and someone has noticed this, and the fact that I make it easier for salespeople to close more business. That's a soft statement, but certainly one to mention. And did I talk about whom I've worked for that's worth mentioning? Absolutely. I mentioned IBM. All right, here's another one. I'm a seasoned designer who works with food and beverage companies to create new and fresh packaging designs that truly get noticed. My designs have won a number of prestigious awards, and I've worked with very successful small and regional producers all the way to global brands such as Stonyfield Farms, Odwalla, and Horizon Dairy Farms. All right, so did I mention who or what I do? Yes, certainly. Whom I work for? Absolutely, I talked about food and beverage companies. Why I'm different? I think I did. I talked about the awards and the experience I have, and I think those are good enough to make me different. Did I mention what relevant value I bring to the table? Well, somewhat. I talked about the fact that I create design that truly gets noticed. So it's there. It's somewhat soft and nebulous, but it's there. And did I mention whom I've worked for that might be worth talking about? Absolutely. I mentioned three specific companies who prospects in this industry would recognize. Here's another variation. I'm a seasoned designer who works with food and beverage companies to create new and fresh packaging designs that truly get noticed. I've worked in food and beverage marketing for more than 27 years, and my designs have won a number of prestigious awards. Did I talk about what I do? Yes. For whom? Yes. Why I'm different? Yes. I talk about the awards and experience, but it's a little heavier than the previous version. Notice it. I talked about my 27 years in the business. So this would be a great approach if I was new to freelancing, but I had a background in a specific industry, and this is going to be one of my target markets now as a freelancer. And then I mentioned who I've worked for that's worth mentioning. Well, in this case, I didn't, but that's okay. I made up for it with some of the other areas, and that's a good point to mention here is that, again, you don't have to have all of these elements. But if you're really strong in one or two of them, that can make up for the lack of one of the other elements in your statement. Here's another one. I'm a videographer who works for local businesses in the Atlanta area to help them tell their story more effectively and through a more engaging format. Recently, I helped a local specialty manufacturer create a demonstration video that helped increase sales by more than 23%. In less than 2 months. Okay, so did I talk about what I do? Yes. For whom? Yes. Why I'm different? Somewhat. I talked about working with local businesses, but you know, that really didn't add a lot. Did I mention what relevant value I bring to the table? Absolutely. I even gave a specific metric from a case study with a recent client. in that I talk about whom I've worked for that's worth mentioning. No, not really. I mentioned that I've worked with this particular client. I yielded these results, but I didn't mention specific names. Okay, so what if you're a new or budding freelancer and you have few or no clients? What do you do then? Will this strategy even work? Well, I kind of alluded to this a few minutes ago. Yes, it will work, but it's going to require you to dig deep into your background, into your work experience, into your skills, your attributes, and aptitudes. So let's look at each element of the value statement so you can see what I mean. First, what you do. Well, even if you're new or haven't even gotten started freelancing, you have to describe what type of work you do or what type of results you create or will create for clients. That never changes. That's something you have to do regardless, whether you do email prospecting or not. For whom? Well, even if you prefer to remain a generalist, and there's nothing wrong with that, doing email prospecting the way I'm going to show you in this program requires that you define a target market. Now, you can have many target markets, but as far as the prospect is concerned, she doesn't care about that. The message that's going to resonate with her the most is when you tell her that you work for X type of organizations. She doesn't need to know that you also work for 5 or 6 other types of companies or industries, or that you'll pretty much work with any type of organization. In the email, she'll want to know that you work with organizations like hers. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with saying, I work with X type of organizations, even if you haven't yet. Your intention is to work with these types of organizations. You're capable of doing that. That's really what matters. You're not saying that you've done it or that you're doing it today. You're talking about your capability. Next, why you're different. Well, here's where you're going to need to get creative. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not asking you to lie. You do not want to do that. But you're going to need to look at your background, your work experience, your skills, attributes, and so forth, and determine what makes you different. You don't need to talk about your freelance track record. You need to focus on your overall track record, period. In other words, leveraging your work background and your experience. All right, so let me give you an example. Let's say that you have been an accountant and a corporate controller for 18 years. Well, maybe you have experience with deep experience with some accounting software, enterprise accounting software or ERP software, not just using it, but also helping companies implement it internally, helping your employer customize it, train other people in the department. I mean, there's a lot you can pull from those experiences. Or let's say that you have 10 years experience working at a YMCA as a purchasing manager, and that's all you got. Well, 10 years at the YMCA taught you all about that organization. You learned the inner workings, the structure, how decisions are made, and so forth. There are many possibilities here depending on what you're looking to do. So as a consultant, you could help companies break into the Y as an account, or you can help them navigate the field, or as a copywriter, you could help gyms create better marketing campaigns. You have to take some time to think through your skills, again, your experience, your knowledge, and use that to brainstorm all the possibilities and credibility elements. Trust me, I've worked with dozens of budding freelancers on this, and there is always a way to make you stand out, even if you still have zero experience freelancing. All right, next, what relevant value do you bring to the table? Well, here again, you need to look at your overall work track record, and you don't have to have actual metrics. Don't worry if you don't. And if the only metrics or results you have are with a previous employer, as long as your agreement with that employer doesn't prevent you from divulging results information, I would go ahead and use that. There's no need, in my mind, to specify that those results were those you achieved while you were employed. After all, whether you knew it or not, you were always a free agent to begin with. You just had a salary and an employment contract. Finally, whom you've worked for that's worth mentioning. So here, if you can, again, use your previous employer's names or start doing some pro bono work to get the samples, the client names, and the track record. Certainly a viable strategy. It's something I used when I was getting started. So just get creative here. You don't necessarily have to have a whole list of companies and organizations you've worked with as a freelancer in order to start talking about companies you've done work for.